The Shortlist by Victoria P. Read by Of Just Imagine. Part 2 of the Beggars Would Ride series. Rating PG-13. Relationship Jessica Moore, Sam Winchester. Summary: 5 things Jess knows about Sam. 1. Sam buys cheap cotton bras at Walmart and wears them until they fall apart from being washed too often. Sometimes she doesn't wear a bra at all, which Jess is a little envious of, though she loves being able to slip her hands right up under Sam's t-shirt to touch her breasts, loves the way Sam closes her eyes and sighs when she does. 2. Sam doesn't wear a lot of jewelry, but she likes looking at it when they go shopping. She wears a leather bracelet she got from her brother. "Good luck charm," is all she'll say about it. Or him, when Jess asks. There's a story there, but Jess isn't sure she wants to know it. And a pair of tiny diamond stud earrings Jess thinks might actually be cubic zirconia, but she doesn't want to ask. Sam never wears hoops or dangly earrings, says she had to fight to get her ears pierced at all, hid it from her father for ages. And once, when she got drunk, she talked hazily about how she'd seen some woman's ear get ripped off by the big silver hoop she'd been wearing. Jess has never pressed for more details. Once, though, they were in a Macy's at the jewelry counter, and Sam had stared at the silver rings with longing. She has lovely hands, long fingers and nails she keeps cut short and square, though she paints them sometimes, colors Jess never would have expected her to go for. Pinks and blues. Reds and burgundies. Never black or gray like Jess's roommate freshman year, who'd spent all her time listening to The Cure and writing bad poetry. It's probably too soon to buy her a ring, but Jess has thought about it, has wondered what diamonds would look like on those hands. 3. Most of the girls Jess knows have put on weight since they started school, the infamous freshman 15, and Sam is no exception, but her body is still mostly long, lean muscle. "I ran track in high school," she says when she notices Jess checking out her legs. "Do you miss it?" "Sometimes." "There are some nice running paths around campus," Jess says, wrapping her arms around Sam's shoulders and pressing a kiss to the side of her neck. "You run?" Sam asks, surprised. Jess doesn't, really, but she shrugs. "Sure." She almost regrets it the next morning when Sam drags her out of their warm bed at O Dark 30 to go running, but there's a light in Sam's face after she runs, a looseness in her shoulders and her smile that makes it hard for Jess to mind the early mornings. 4. Sam has a stalker. Sam never mentions it, but Jess doesn't know how she doesn't know. The guy's not subtle. He drives a freaking boat of a car and wears a leather jacket with the collar popped. He looks like something out of a B movie from the 50s. The first couple of times, Jess wrote it off as a coincidence. It's a big campus, but parking is tight. The third time, though, the guy was loitering in the vestibule of Sam's dorm, and though she can't swear to it, she thinks he was rifling through Sam's mail. He's good-looking, wide green eyes and lush pink mouth, and he knows it, knows how to use it. He grins at Jess when she catches him, gives her a long once-over that makes her flush, like he can see her without her clothes on, and he likes what he sees. She purses her lips at him and says, "Can I help you?" in her bitchiest voice, and then silently curses herself for giving him the opening. He bites his lip, and Jess crosses her arms over her chest and taps her foot impatiently. "No," he says. "Probably not." He brushes past her and stops, like he's going to say something, and then he shakes his head and mutters something under his breath before he walks away. She tells Sam, and Sam looks startled and then annoyed. "I'll take care of it," she says, and later, Jess hears her on the phone, voice too low to make out words at first. Jess knows she should feel bad for eavesdropping, but the guy looked dangerous, and she just wants Sam to be safe. Sam's voice rises, the way it does when she's angry, her words clearly audible through the thin door between them. Fine! Don't do me any favors! There's a thunk that turns out to be Sam throwing the phone against the wall. She has a new one the next time Jess sees it. Sam comes out of the bedroom and puts an arm around her. Don't worry, she says. You won't see him again. Jess doesn't, and she's glad, but she doesn't understand until much later why Sam cries herself to sleep that night. Five. Sam loves her. Jess wasn't sure at first, because she'd never dated anyone as secretive and seemingly undemonstrative as Sam before, but slowly Jess figures it out. Sam brings her coffee and donuts in the morning, does her laundry without asking, and always calmly kills whatever bugs are lurking when Jess shrieks and runs for cover. Sam doesn't tease her about it afterwards either, just kisses her and laughs. It's nice to know I'm good at something, she says. Sam's kind of a terrible cook, but she heats up soup when Jess is sick, and she offers to help out in the kitchen on the few occasions Jess has brought her home. She's a light sleeper, and she suffers from insomnia, but she tries not to wake Jess up when she can't sleep. Jess doesn't mind, though, now that they're living together. She wears Sam out with sex, loves the startled look on her face that transitions into need and hunger, loves the way Sam kisses, the way she puts her whole body into it, like she's afraid she's never going to get the chance again. She loves the way Sam gets that focused look on her face, the same one she gets when she's studying, like Jess is a puzzle she desperately wants to solve. Sam shows Jess she loves her in a million different ways that click together in Jess's head long before Sam finally says the words, soft and hesitant, like she's afraid Jess won't say them back. But Jess does, because another thing Jess knows is that she loves Sam more than anyone else she's ever met, and Jess wants to spend her life with her. The end.